One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're...
What?
Stumped.
I was just going to let you throw something out.
We're tan.
We are tan.
We're tan. How about that?
Well, more tan than we usually are, which is not really tan comparatively.
Yeah, I'm not transparent currently.
And I'm more freckly.
You're like pink and freckly.
The two things every man desires to be.
You want to look like a little strawberry.
Achieved my goal.
I do have a blister on my nose. Do you see it?
It's like not as bad as it was when you first got it.
Yeah, no, that's true. I like flash fry and then I get brown.
Much like a potato.
Yeah, like a potato.
Well, Martinique was lovely.
Yes, it was.
Beautiful island, beautiful people.
Really sleepy.
Yeah, which was perfect for a vacation.
Yes. It was just like everything closed at 9:30.
Yeah, but that forced us to just go home and have rum and play games.
Which we did.
Which is great.
Yes. It was honestly like I was talking about this with Josh last night or the night before, but it was actually surprisingly mentally exhausting for me because I was the only one who spoke French.
True.
And so I was like the queen of social interactions, which was
right.
Kind of stressful.
Well, we got through it.
We did get through it.
Mostly, it was mostly restaurants that were the, you know, the social interactions we needed.
Yes, that's true. And we drank a lot of rum.
Yup.
So it was good. And now we're tan. And now we're here to bring you a song salad, which is...
a random topic plus a random genre to create a song.
Yes. And this week, we had a record number of listeners.
Yeah.
In our first, I think even still, it's like the highest number of listens we've gotten
in such a short amount of time. Yeah.
In a week. Yeah. So awesome. Thanks for finding us. If you found us from WFOD show, we really appreciate it. If you're here from Schmanners, the ad that we did on Schmanners, welcome, welcome. Follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast and let us know who you are and we'll say hi.
And if you are with us from the beginning, we haven't forgotten about you.
No,
you're still the most special.
You're a special snowflake.
Well, let's not throw around the term snowflake.
Whatever, I'm reclaiming it.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm taking it back. So let's get right into it.
Yeah.
And let's spin the salad spinner, which is a weird noise that we make while we click the random button on both moodfuse.com to get our genre and Wikipedia.
This week's salad spinner suggestion comes from loyal vegetarian Todd the Linguist.
At Todd the Linguist on Twitter, who would like to hear Scott say 5 seconds of Scott saying NRG.
All right. And I'm going to look at the counter up here and do it for a legit 5 seconds.
And you should also go back and listen to our NRG episode to find out why Todd wants to hear Scott say it.
All right, here we go. NRG, 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 NRG. Was that more than five? That was a little less.
I don't know. Just click it.
Shibuya K.
Shibuya K.
Shibuya K. Or Shibuya style.
Yeah, I mean Shibuya style in Japanese.
Oh, boy.
Shibuya is a city in Japan.
Is it a city or is it a district of Tokyo? I don't know. They just, on Terrace House, they live in Tokyo and they always go to Shibuya.
Now, Shannon, what's Terrace House?
Look, yes, look, Shibuya is a special ward in Tokyo, Japan.
Cool.
Tokyo's enormous.
Shibuya has its own flag. Shibuya City.
Really?
Yeah.
They get their own flags?
Cool. What's Terrace House?
Terrace House is a Japanese reality show.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's like The Real World, but nothing happens. Except everything happens. When nothing happens, everything
yes.
can happen. You know what I mean?
That's a good quote to live by.
Yeah. So like there's no real drama. Like it's just like six Japanese people living in the same house. They still go to work, still go to school. They like have their lives. They like see their friends. Their family can come over.
Their family can watch the show like the week after it's filmed.
Yeah, it airs like concurrent with the show happening. And it's just the most fascinating little piece of cultural voyeurism that I indulge in, that we both indulge in.
So check out Netflix Terrace House. That's like a patio terrace.
Yeah. And we learned about it from one of our favorite podcasts, My Brother and Me, on the Maximum Fun Network.
Anyway, back to Shibuya Kei.
How are you saying
K-E?
It?
Kei? Kei, I think. Yeah. Shibuya Kei.
K-E-I.
Yeah.
All right.
It's an aesthetic and eclectic form of pop music, which flourished in the mid to late 1990s, emerging as Japanese retail music from the Shibuya district of Tokyo, Japan. The genre, a kitsch revival of 1960s culture, was strongly influenced by classic Western pop music, specifically the orchestral domains occupied by producers Burt Bacharach, Brian Wilson, Phil Spector, and singer Serge Gainsbourg.
I don't know Serge Gainsbourg.
Artists engaged in a cut-and-paste style that was inspired by previous generations based on kitsch, fusion.
Previous genres.
Yes. Kitsch, fusion, and artifice, which I don't know. Unlike other Japanese music scenes, its audiences did not necessarily cross over into anime fandoms, but rather indie pop enthusiasts.
So is that saying that certain music genres had anime that was specific to, like, that had fans that were specific to certain, like, shows or types of anime?
Maybe. I have no idea.
Hmm.
This was partly because many of its bands were distributed in the United States through major indie labels like Matador and Grand Royal. I'm going to let you keep reading.
Sure. Shibuya Kei peaked in the late 1990s and declined after its principal players began moving into other musical styles. According to English musician Momus? Oh, I'm reading at a severe angle.
That's what I'm doing.
That R, you can't make fun of me. The R and the N next, whatever. Although Shibuya Kei continues to influence many musicians, the genre remains dead as of 2015.
Until now.
We're bringing it back. Necromancers of music.
Ew.
Yeah. Explaining that the subculture had a lot to do with the area itself. Shibuya today is just an overblown shopping district, summed up for me by the disappointing Shibuya Hikari Center.
That must be like a mall.
Okay. So explain to me, we read that it's a cut and paste style. Explain to me what that means.
I think that's just picking and choosing elements of Western pop music that they liked and kind of throwing it together. So a little
like a song salad.
Like a song salad. Yeah. So it has influences from pop, hip hop, indie pop, orchestral pop, lounge pop, bossa nova, which we talked about last week, and kind of just like smushed all these styles together to form the ultimate in Japanese retail music.
So one of the foundational groups in Shibuya Kei was a duo called Flippers Guitar, which were Kenji Ozawa and Keigo Oyamada, who's also known as Cornelius.
Okay.
And they were actually active before the term Shibuya Kei was coined, but they were foundational to all of the other groups that are considered Shibuya Kei.
Shibuya is one of the 23 special wards of Tokyo.
Okay.
It's known for stylish restaurants, bars, buildings, record shops, bookshops, and was at its peak of popularity and culture in the 90s. At that time, J-pop was popular, which was Japanese music that sounded Western and was influenced by Euro-American music. A lot of this music was sold in record shops in Shibuya. And the evolution of Shibuya Kei was sort of a byproduct of the consumerism of all these different styles of music and the popularity of J-pop. So it kind of like pushed J-pop over the edge, I guess.
I also like this. So there's a critic. I guess it's a critic. It like doesn't really introduce who this person is. But someone named Reynolds says that they were, I guess there was like a lot of animosity towards this genre from serious musicians, it seems like. And this Reynolds person references this as a problem with Shibuya Kei's model of elevated consumerism and curation as creation. Once music is a reflection of esoteric knowledge rather than expressive urgency, its value is easily voided. Which is basically, and it kind of says this in the rest of the paragraph, which is kind of like everyone's problem with hipsters, which is the curation of esoteric knowledge rather than creative expression, which I think is a really interesting way to look at why people are annoyed with hipsters.
Right.
So it's just like, it seems like these bands, and I'm probably generalizing because we've literally been learning about this for 4 minutes, but it seems like these bands just kind of listened to a bunch of music.
Right.
Picked and chose. That's the past participle. Cool. Yeah. Picked and chose the things that they liked about all of these different things and then mooshed them together. And they were like, cool, this is what we do and this is our music.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's invalid. But I also can see how that would rankle like serious musicians and music critics.
Sure. And there's another quote by the same Reynolds, Simon Reynolds, I think. He says, the upper middle class, privately educated rich kids, sound familiar, who frequented these Shibuya record stores, bought loads of imported records from the UK and esoteric reissues of all kinds, then created music that was a portrait of themselves as exquisitely discerning consumers.
Oh, I love a good academic burn. Like that, like just, oh, right. The snark in that, but like veiled in intellectualism. It's just, mwah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough genre to replicate.
Yes,
I think.
It's going to be impossible.
No, never say impossible.
Well, I mean, we're going to do it anyway.
Yup. We should play an example.
Yeah, let's find an example.
Cornelius.
Yeah, so this Cornelius guy, he was in the Flippers guitar duo. He went solo. And after he went solo, he became one of the biggest success stories in the genre. So we're going to find you something off of his album Phantasma, which came out in 1997. And Scott has found a song called
Starfruit's Surf Rider.
Hell yes, it is.
As you can hear in that example, kind of an eclectic mix of like an electronica beat with acoustic guitar and then like chill whistling and like loungy vocals.
And there's something about, I was saying this to you while I was playing, there's something about it that also reminds me of the Postal Service.
Uh-huh.
That kind of like hodgepodgey type of sounds, like all kind of layered on top of each other,
right,
that are rhythmic, but they're not like necessarily musical instruments that you're listening to.
Sure. Yeah. Sort of found object sounds.
Yeah, kind of.
And I also saw on the Wikipedia page for the album that song is off of that it's considered a defining work of this genre, Shibuya Kei. And it is as David Marks describes, an important textbook for an alternative musical history where Bach, Burt Bacharach, and the Beach Boys stand as the great triumvirate.
What an interesting intersection of music.
And we listened to another song where it definitely sounded like Beach Boys meets Beatles kind of ripoff. And every single song from this album sounds totally different from the last.
Yeah, there does not appear to be, except for the fact that they all do vaguely sound 90s.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And they're all kind of these little, like, interesting hodgepodges.
Huh.
Huh.
I think the specific genres and bands that we draw from as inspiration might come from our topic.
Yes. I mean, they should definitely all be like 90s, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Plus, like, the orchestral stuff, like Bacharach and Brian Wilson and that.
Right.
Jazz.
Yeah, that list that I read earlier, mm-hmm. sort of like indie pop, soul, jazz, funk, orchestral pop, lounge, bossa nova, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And specifically those artists.
So let's spin the salad spinner again.
It's going to be the same thing.
Still you. Say NRG for 5 seconds.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a different tactic this time.
Ooh.
Here we go.
All right.
NRG. That was 5 seconds. Okay.
Okay. Richard Jefferies, screenwriter.
Richard L. Jefferies, born March. What, did I say it wrong?
No, I was going to say Richard Louise Jefferies.
How do you know it's Louise?
It was just a joke.
Don't make up things you don't know.
Wikipedia does it all the time.
Born March 1956. He's an American screenwriter, film producer, film director, and editor. And he wrote and executive produced Cold Creek Manor. Do you know that movie?
Nope. It was 2003. Dennis Quaid, Sharon Stone, Stephen Dorff, Juliette Lewis, Kristen Stewart, and Christopher Plummer.
Oh.
Whoa.
A family terrorized by the former owner of the rural estate they bought in foreclosure. Hmm. Okay.
Cool. He was a screenwriter on Tron Legacy for Disney Studios.
Nice.
And directed the 2008 sci-fi original film Living Hell, aka Organism.
With a Z. Organism.
Jefferies is partners with writer, director, producer Ethan Wiley in transmedia production company Wiseacre Films.
Jefferies' father was a movie theater manager. He studied from 1974 to 1978 at the California Institute of the Arts. And together with Mark Kirkland, he won a Student Academy Award for his animated short film Fame about a song by David Bowie.
Okay.
Which maybe we can draw some musical inspiration there.
So here's his filmography. There's not actually that many films. Blood Tide, Action Impossible, which is that like Mission Impossible?
I don't know. We're going to click it.
14 Going on 30.
What?
That's weird.
Sequel to 13 Going on 30?
In 1988.
I don't know.
1988 also brought us Scarecrows. 1992. Okay, so now we're into the 90s. We should start paying attention. The Vagrant.
Don't know it.
I believe it's a horror movie. 1995, Man of the House.
Know it very well.
Definitely. Then Cold Creek Manor, Fantastic Four, Rise of Silver Surfer, Living Hell, Tron Legacy, and 2012, Elf Man.
Don't know that one.
So it kind of seems like, yeah. Okay, it kind of seems like lots of horror movies, and then for some reason, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, and Tron?
So The Vagrant, 1992, comedy horror film starring Bill Paxton.
No!
And Michael Ironside. It revolves around a yuppie, Paxton, who is being driven insane by a crazed bum, Marshall Bell, after moving into a new home in which the bum had been squatting. The tagline is, he's not home alone.
Oh, my God.
And the poster is just Bill Paxton screaming with his mouth open.
Oh, it's bad. Oh,
and
it's
then a
really
silhouette
bad.
In a doorway. So that's The Vagrant. That's 1992. And then for anyone that doesn't know Man of the House.
So Man of the House, like, also very weird. This doesn't fit in the horror movie or sci-fi genre at all.
Not at all. Man of the House, Walt Disney film, 1995, starring Chevy Chase, Farrah Fawcett, and my boy, JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Your boy? Yeah, he's your boy?
He's my boy.
Oh.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas must come to terms with his potential stepfather, Chase, a well-meaning lawyer who is unknowingly the subject of a manhunt by relatives of a man he helped land in prison.
In case you don't remember this, they basically, like, the whole thrust of the thing is that, like, he's very, like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas is very manipulative.
Right.
And he, like, tortures Chevy Chase, who is about to become his stepfather, basically.
Right.
They join, I think, do they call it, like, Indian guides or something?
Yes.
Like,
let's see if...
I'm sure they say what they actually... You know, it's like a Boy Scouts knockoff, basically. Indian guides, before joining the Indian guides.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they go on a camping trip, and the mobsters basically come after him, and they end up, like, bonding, of course.
Uh-huh. My favorite part of this movie when they join the Indian guides is that they get, like, nicknames.
Oh, yeah.
And the nickname they give Chevy Chase is, like, Squatting Dog.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I also remember this was one of the many, many movies that successfully used Send Me On My Way as background music for, like, a montage or, like, driving across the Midwest kind of scene.
Really?
Oh, more.
I didn't remember that. Yeah. Okay. So this was, like, a very formative, like, I definitely watched this when I was a young kid.
And we have Richard Jefferies to thank as one of the two men credited as coming up with the story for this
film.
And then two other men are credited for the screenplay.
Yep. Okay, so those were the two that he did in the 90s, so let's keep those in mind. So maybe we'll keep Blues Traveler in mind.
Blues Traveler?
Isn't that Send Me On My Way?
No.
Who's Send Me On My Way? Rusted Root. Rusted Root. So maybe we'll keep Rusted Root in mind.
Yes, Rusted Root. David Bowie because of this short film.
Yeah.
And...
comedy horror? I don't know what we could do
with
that.
Let's see. What can we do with The Vagrant?
I don't know. We're translating his filmography into music terms.
Let's see if I can find who wrote the score to The Vagrant.
Okay.
Found it.
Who was it?
Christopher Young.
Okay.
Was the film scorer for The Vagrant. And, it says that he was originally a jazz drummer. So we can throw that in there too.
Great. Just mix it all up. Put it in our little creativity food processor.
Yes.
See what happens. Okay. So now I need to figure out if there were any kind of thematic, lyrical things that were going on with Shibuya Key.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm going to go look into that, and you start doing whatever the hell you're going
to
do.
Yeah, I'm going to find examples and references to draw from to then smoosh together.
I like it. All right.
Here we go.
Let's break.
All right. Shibuya Key. I don't know. Learned a little bit more. There was a very influential group called the Pizzicato Five.
Yeah.
That had a lead singer, a female lead singer, and a rotating group of male musicians in the background over many years. They started in 1979 and were still recording up through the early 2000s. But they are also credited as spearheading this Shibuya Kei movement. I listened to a couple of their songs. Again, just like Cornelius, every song you listen to has a different style. There's one that's like a all funk soul track called Sweet Soul Review, and all the YouTube comments on it are like people saying, oh my God, I finally found what this song is after 15 years. Oh, and apparently it was a huge hit in the Philippines in the 90s, but no one knew what it was called. And then it was finally put on YouTube in like 2015 and everyone was freaking out because they were able to recognize it. They also have a song called Baby Love Child. That's like straight out of the 60s, like Beatles ripoff kind of thing. So all of these groups just kind of, you know, cut and pasted and smushed together whatever genres they liked, it seems.
It reminds me kind of Andy Warhol and pop art.
Sure. That makes sense.
To make like a visual art equivalent. And not just because pop art was most prominent in the 60s, mm-hmm. but it was like taking found objects in the world and putting your own spin on them and right. elevating them by their combination.
Yeah. So what does that mean for me?
yeah. Tell me about you, Scott.
So I'm going to use, I think I'm going to actually like sample some things. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of these electronic sounding tracks from Cornelius that he may have actually sampled things rather than creating them himself. So I'm just going to go with that. I couldn't really find much information on whether that was a common practice, but for our purposes, I'm going to use the iconic guitar vamp from Rusted Roots, Send Me On My Way.
So we can get Richard Jefferies in there somehow. Yep.
I'll play that for you right now. And then I'm also going to sample a little bit of David Bowie's Fame, which Richard Jefferies wrote a short film about. And I had no idea that this was a David Bowie song, honestly.
Yeah, Scott and I both were kind of shocked that we didn't know this. I know this song, obviously. But
I figured it was like Sly and the Family Stone or something.
Me too.
You know? But here's a little bit of David Bowie's Fame, which you'll definitely recognize.
Yep.
Sorry if we're really dumb for not knowing it was him.
Yeah.
And then, like I mentioned, Christopher Young, the composer of the music in the film Vagrant, who is a very successful and active film composer who also did like the recent horror movie Drag Me to Hell and The Exorcism of Emily Rose and like that. He started his career as a jazz drummer, so I think I'm going to put a loungy, jazzy drum track in the back of all of this.
So I've had basically zilch luck finding anything about themes in the lyrics. I mean, it feels like it can be as eclectic as the rest of this genre is.
Pretty much.
I think I'm going to abandon that search and just concentrate on learning more about Richard Jefferies. Or maybe not, because like it seems kind of like a lot of these lyrics are nonsensical.
A little bit.
I was looking up, so the guy Cornelius, who went solo from Flipper's Guitar, his wife was actually also a Shibuya Key artist, and her name was Takako Minikawa. And she seems like she leans more toward like the quirky and experimental kind of electronic pop. And it also says she has a krautrock edge, which krautrock, we have not gotten krautrock yet.
No, we haven't.
But she has a krautrock edge. And the this LA Weekly article that I was reading about her pointed me towards a song called Fantastic Cat, which is basically all about Fantastic Cat. It's in English. And just here are just some of the lyrics. Fantastic Cat, I am a cat and like a girl. Fantastic Cat, I am a cat and like a girl. Fantastic Cat, I love cute dresses and cute shoes. Fantastic Cat, I wear a nice knee length of jupe.
What?
Well, a jupe means skirt in French, but I wear a nice knee length of, but it's like not even good English. So it's like, who cares? I feel like we could put it in English, translate it into Japanese, and then translate it back into English.
That could be a fun game.
And it could just kind of be this sort of little like, I don't know, agrammatical.
I like it.
So maybe we'll do that.
And I think we should have you sing this one, Shannon, to be like the Pizzicato 5.
Cool. I will do my best.
One other musical thing I should say is that on a lot of these songs, strings and horns are in the foreground of the arrangements to be more like Burt Bacharach. So I'm going to add those as well.
All right. I'm gonna go write some lyrics and we'll meet back here.
Let's get mashing.
Yeah.
I have. Yeah.
Lyrics.
Hey.
Hey. So it's just like fun and fancy free.
Yeah.
Repetitive.
Sure.
Kind of boppy.
Yeah.
You know? So I looked at a picture of Richard Jefferies.
Okay. What's he look like?
I just kind of like free associated.
All right.
So I'm going to read what I wrote, and then I will read the translated into Japanese, translated back into English lyrics that I'll
this
be
is,
singing.
I love this. I love this game.
Guys, spoiler alert, it gets a weird. Like a lot. Okay, so here's what I wrote. Big blue eyes and hairdo from Cali, Richard Jefferies writes, will it be for Disney or scary? Let's watch it tonight. Movie maker, and then of course, movie maker, make all the movies, Richard Jefferies writes. Movie maker, make me a movie for me to watch tonight.
Nice.
Movie maker, make all the movies, movie maker writes. Movie maker, make me a movie for me to watch tonight.
Nice.
So I puts it into the Google, and I put it back, and here's what we get.
Oh, boy.
Carrie's big blue eyes and hairstyle, Richard Jefferies written, I am scared of Disney. Let's see it tonight. Movie maker, make all the movies. Richard Jefferies written. Movie maker, make me a movie tonight for me to see. Movie maker, make all the movies. Movie maker, write. Movie maker, to make me a movie tonight for me to see.
I have never been more sure of a title of a song than
I am scared of Disney. I also really like how Callie became Carrie when it got translated into Japanese and then back into
English.
Yeah.
That's so strange. Callie.
Yeah.
Huh.
Like even in Google, even Google mixes up the R and the L.
Can't do it.
Crazy. And it became Carrie's big blue eyes and hairstyle instead of from. Okay. Anyway. So those are the lyrics.
I love them.
What are we doing?
You're going to sing them over this crazy mashup I made of all of my musical influences that is working surprisingly well, ?
Yeah. So I've also noticed that Pizzicato 5, she tends to have like, she doesn't have a very strong voice.
No.
And it's kind of not like whispery, but it is like a little bit breathy and like kind of like light and.
Yeah. Sure.
Happy and poppy. So that's
what you're going to sing?
That's what I'm going for.
All right.
No guarantees on what actually comes out of my mouth, but that's what I'm going to be thinking about.
All right. Well, here goes nothing.
Yeah.
This is
I am scared of Disney,
a Shibuya Kei song
by Shannon and Scott.
Big blue eyes and hairstyle, Richard Jefferies written. I am scared of Disney. Let's see it tonight. Movie maker, make all the movies.
Movie maker,
Richard Jefferies written. To make me a movie.
Movie maker,
make all the movies.
Movie maker,
movie maker,
movie maker.
I'm scared of Disney.
Well, that was weird.
I'm scared of that song.
I'm. It's. I.
It's a disgrace to David Bowie, John Lennon, and Rusted Root.
Yeah. And Richard Jefferies.
Lest we forget.
Carrie's big blue eyes and hairstyle.
I have a confession to make.
What's your confession?
I started to doubt whether that Rusted Root song was actually used in Man of the House or if I was thinking of a different movie.
Uh-huh.
So I looked up the soundtrack to Man of the House.
Uh-huh.
It's not on there.
Are you freaking kidding me?
But we were in too deep.
Oh my God. What were you thinking?
There's definitely a movie like that where it's like driving across like, I don't know, Oklahoma or something.
It's the Matilda flipping pancake song.
Yeah, but I'm not thinking of Matilda. I'm thinking of like, I don't know what I was thinking of.
I don't
if
either.
Anyone out there can help me, help me.
I feel like this is a task for your brother.
Dave, what movie am I thinking of that's not Man of the House that has like that song in it?
Scott's brother Dave has an amazing superpower where Scott can text him like three words from
right.
a song he was thinking of. He's like, it was maybe when I was in sixth grade
right.
and it had the words like chimichanga Sunday in it. And Dave will be like, oh, you mean this song from this guy?
Yeah.
Which came out in this year and it was on this album.
Yeah, Dave's good for that.
It's really, truly impressive.
And Dave calls me for advice like, hey, how do you do the worm? And I have to explain it over the phone.
That's okay. My brother calls me for help formatting things in Word.
Well, that's useful at least.
Yeah, know your strengths, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we've done Shibuya Kai.
I mean, like, air quotes, done Shibuya Kai.
But, like, when we started this podcast,
yeah,
we didn't know what that was. We never, probably ever, would have known what that was.
That's true.
And now we do, and we've done it. And it was the best one ever done.
All our hearts have grown three sizes this day.
God bless us, everyone.
Wow, we're really mixing Christmas movies here, huh?
Party, Tim.
If you like us, and we hope you do, because we like
you. If you still like us.
If you still like us, that's right. If you still like us, you can follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. We are in the market for salad spinner suggestions. If you want to hear Scott and I make a noise while we quote unquote spin the salad spinner and hit the random button on Mood, Fuse, and Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
You can get at us on Twitter or on our Facebook page. Just search Song Salad Podcast. And you can find all of our information at songsaladpodcast.com.
And as a special treat
yes.
for the outro to this episode, we have a reimagining of the Song Salad theme. From my dad, Alan Wasserman, doesn't have a Twitter. Oh, well. He played saxophone and did a little like remix of our theme. So
thank you, Alan.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're afraid
scared of Disney.
Oh, I keep saying afraid.
I know.
Scared of Disney.
It's scared.